Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, calling into you live this week from Niles, Michigan, just north of my home alma mater of Notre Dame and near my in-laws. We've got another great show for you this week. We've got my co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself here. Hello, Miss Rhonda. I'm working on getting you unmuted right now. Okay, finally. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Hi there.
How are you?
Oh, my goodness. It's a wonder the winds didn't blow me up to see you. From where I am, it was so
gracious.
Oh,
it's
my
still doing
gosh,
that here.
It was just nuts last night. In the middle of the night, Molly was trying to get as small as possible and inside of me, if at all possible. And the cats were hiding. And my folks that live down the hill from me have a grill, and the grill cover, which was securely fastened on it, almost blew off, and the grill moved a couple of feet, and I was like, oh, goodness. Phew, so I was up half the night with the windstorm.
Man, oh, man. Well, I'm glad you didn't blow away, although I would have loved for you to have been blown my way.
I could have been blown up to see you. That would be okay.
Yeah, but boy, I think this one is such a bad wind. You could have blown all the way to London from where you're at. It was so nasty.
And did you guys hit that badly as well? Or
it is still happening as we speak.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty. It's still here. It's not as bad as it was all night, but it's definitely very windy. And I was concerned even to let the chickens out this morning. So I let them out for a while, and I think some of them are in the coop, and some of them are under my porch right now.
Well, I've been so excited the last couple of days because as of Friday last week, I have spent almost nonstop since then my time with my good friends Dr. Elaine Ferguson and her husband Victor Johnson out in Valparaiso, Indiana, and our good friends Chief Robert Taltree and his wife Carrie. And Elaine and Victor came out here to Niles last night and spent the night with us in our motorhome because the Taltrees had to go up and do a performance in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And my goodness, as they were here, because I am a smoker, I'll admit to it on the air, I was going outside to have a cigarette because I was trying to be so nice. And every time I'd go outside, I felt like I was going to get blown over to my in-law's house. It was so windy. Oh, my goodness.
My father gave me this special umbrella because he knows how windy it is out here. When he's come to visit me, we turned a big umbrella inside out just trying to get in through a rainstorm one point. And so he gave me this thing. It's called a windbrella, so it has like a second little layer so that your umbrella won't turn inside out. Well, but the other
thing
is
I have heard that that's a really, really good thing. Does it work?
Yes, it works, and I think that today, if I hold on really tight, I might be able to fly up there to see you on the umbrella because it does give a little bit of an uplift, and there are times I have almost been pulled off my feet with it. I didn't have to use it today because we have no rain, just the wind. Maybe I'll take it out later and give it a spin and see if I can come and visit you by way of umbrella.
There you go. That's a good idea.
And those are phenomenal umbrellas, though. They really are. And because where I live there, my mom's husband, Bruce, always goes, I never bother with an umbrella. They just flip it around. He says, oh, this one does not, believe me. And it really does work. They're great.
Wow. Neat.
They're structurally, I would think structurally almost impossible other than maybe a tornado or something, but that can rip anything apart for this thing to go and flip around, so...
Yeah. So we have a wonderful show planned for today. I've got the chat window open so that folks can come in and ask some questions for our guest. We've got a guest today by the name of Roberta, who's been somebody I've been looking forward to meeting. So I'm going to let you do the honors. I will get her unmuted while you do. Oh, she is unmuted.
Yeah.
Good.
He's unmuted already, yeah. So I just looked in the console. I would like to unmute him before I do the intro, so I don't have to do it later. But, yeah, I mean, let me just mention how I found Roberta, first of all, was because I have been looking for someone to come and talk to us about sponsorships. And so because I think it's such a powerful way for any business owner to get some things funded, change lives, do all kinds of great work. So in that search, I happened across Roberta. And it was quite a while before she was able to connect with me because she's just so busy and doing great things. And so it's been, I mean, this was back in the spring, so I'm just so grateful that Roberta was able to take the time to come and visit with us today. So here's a little bit about Roberta Vigilance. She is someone who is really passionate about having your causes that need funding and doing events and so forth. And she's really into helping people to make their dreams and goals happen. So in 1999, see, the passion is you know, what really, I thought, oh, this is really cool. I mean, because there is really that sense of her wanting people to make their goals happen. Back in 1999, she founded an event coordinating company. And what she worked with then were upcoming models and other talents who were wanting to become more visible and more connected in the entertainment industry. So at that point, with no money and with a passion for connecting people, when do we ever talk about connecting people here in relationship marketing, right, Paul?
Yeah, not ever, right?
Never, no, absolutely, sell, right? No. But with this amazing passion for connecting people and without money, she was able to solicit and secure both local and national brand sponsors who are able to cover each of the event costs. So she shares her experiences, knowledge, and expertise in how to plan sponsorship events effectively and secure sponsors successfully to help people and organizations be able to help themselves and help others to save money and to make money. So I'm really excited to have you here, Roberta, and thank you so very much for being kind enough to join us on Relationship Marketing 101.
You're welcome.
Nice to meet you, Roberta. This is Gina.
Hi. How are you guys doing? I should
say
lady.
Great.
What are you guys talking about earlier about using the umbrella as a kite? What's that one that you got?
Yeah, basically using it as a mode of transport to, you know, Mary Poppins style. I think that might work with the kind of winds we're having today. I don't know quite how many jumps it would take, but maybe it'll work.
Just be safe.
Yes. Well, we're very excited to have you because there are always people in our lives who are wanting to fund their dreams. We work, of course, with people who are starting a business. Mm-hmm. And everyone that comes into either of our lives is really, they're not just about let's just make loads of money and you know, use people along the way. We have people who are very heart-centered and spirit-centered people with big goals and with big dreams. And we're also working on projects, and Gina can tell you a little bit more about some of hers, and with 10 million clicks for peace and so forth. But we're always looking for ways to be able to reach out. So we're excited for you to be able to share some of your wisdom with us.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you for having me. And I'm listening. I would love to share with your audience about sponsorship.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Well, this is an interesting topic to me. So why don't we start? I know what sponsorship means, but I'm not sure that our listeners know.
Okay. I think, Rhonda, you pretty much summed it up. And just to go into it a little bit more fine-tuned, sponsorship, I consider sponsorship a form of bartering. Long gone are those days when you trade beans for whatever. For example,
we do all the time, actually. Well, not beans, but.
Or, for example, you know, let's say a person is looking to open a clothing store, and what they can do, let's see how I can put this, maybe in simpler terms, trade in value for value. Does that make sense to you?
Love it. It does.
Okay. To break it down, even I could just go back in the days where if you're trading a cow for a wife, don't shoot me. I've heard it's been done. Where
wow.
You, yeah. So you're trading value for value. And that's what sponsorship is, giving a person something that they can benefit from as well as you yourself would benefit from whatever it is that you're trading in. I'll even get more personal. When I started in 1999 planning events, you're right, Rhonda, I did not have any money to plan the events. However, I did have a high passion in helping people become visible in front of the entertainment industry. So everyone may, you know, passion may be different. If it's opening, starting a nonprofit organization for cancer, or they have an innovative product like a flying umbrella, or whatever it is, but they need that money, that funding to actually make their passion a reality. What you would do is look for companies who you believe can relate to your passion. I found, you know, my passion again was the was related to the entertainment industry. So I found companies who wanted or who already captured my audience. So when I planned the fashion shows and the seminars, I went after companies like record labels. You can even, from record labels to pharmaceutical company, and I'll tell you why. You sometimes you have to think outside of the box. And why pharmaceutical company? There's a company named Rite Aid. I'm not sure if you guys heard of it.
I have.
They have Rite Aid in Colorado, yeah.
No, Rite Aid. It's
right.
It's
I have heard of Rite Aid.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a store.
Yes, it's a pharmaceutical store. Pharmacy, right? And sell other.
Yeah.
Outside the box, I planned a costume party for children, right, within the neighborhood. And I know Rite Aid targets families, correct? You know, you come in of all age group, you have children, cough medicines, et cetera, for children. I went to Rite Aid and said, hey, you guys are in the neighborhood where I am planning this costume party. Why not become more up close and personal with the community, with the people in the community who have children? They thought it was, you know, it was good for them as far as bridging the relationship. And they cut a check. They sponsored the event, you know, to cover the cost of the venue. You know, when you plan an event, there are things that that cost. From
sure.
The venue flyers. You know that, I'm assuming, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can get companies. Just think about who can benefit from your passion, who your passion can help, and go after those companies. So I hope I explained it a little bit without, you know, rambling on.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, what you're really talking about, of course, that just I'm just going to kind of review for people a little bit, because this could be a very new concept for a lot of our people who are listening, a lot of our business builders, is that sponsorship is basically just a trade of value in which you are connecting companies or people that have something to offer each other that would make really good sense in order to serve an audience.
Pretty much. It's pretty much, you are correct.
And then what you're talking about is very similar to what we teach in terms of finding joint venture partners. And, you know, you have an example of using Rite Aid to help to do things for an event to get it off the ground where it was serving the community. In other words, everybody has to benefit. It's a win-win-win.
That's right.
So both of any of the sponsorship partners win, and the audience who is being served in the end is the big winner of all of this, correct?
You are correct. It's a win-win situation. Excuse me. You go into a relationship and both parties are benefited mutually. You do not go in and, you know, you offer 60 and walk away with 40. Another thing about sponsorship, you must be honest. You do not, you know, and this is one reason I put the information into my ebook, because not everyone is honest, but we're hoping more people will become honest. One thing about sponsorship, you do not, I'll go back to the cow and the wife, you do not, you know, let's say the family, and I know I have to come up with better examples, you guys, okay, but for now, let's say that family, let's say that family goes and go with the cow, and the other family decide not to give the wife. Well, that's not fair sponsorship. That's not fair bartering. So with sponsorship, yes, Rhonda and Gina, you definitely want to make sure it's a mutual gain, and just keep to that commitment that you've made.
Great. So let's talk about it. You know, one of the things that's really good is to help give some examples. So aside from this cow business, can you share an example of ones that you have actually worked out for either for yourself or for clients so that, you know, just give us another example that help people understand how this works and really how ultimately the big winner of all is, of course, the audience that's served.
Okay, I have a perfect example to bring you up to date. Tommy Hilfiger, are you guys, is the designer, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Back in the 90s, it was said that Tommy Hilfiger had said that he did not make his clothing for blacks to wear his clothing. So, of course, when black people heard that, they shut it down. They did not want to shop with Tommy Hilfiger any longer. It was said that Tommy Hilfiger made this comment on the Oprah show. Well, I knew someone that I met who worked with Tommy, and, you know, he said, you know, this is never, it was not true. It was never said, and, of course, no one can prove it. That was ever said. You can Google Oprah, Tommy Hilfiger. It was proven, even I believe Oprah said that it was never said. So to clean the, at that time, Tommy Hilfiger needed a cleaner image. He needed a positive image black with the black community. What I did, again, to meet my passion and at the same time to help Tommy Hilfiger image, remember, I want to showcase models and talent. So I planned a fashion show. Spoke with the person at that I knew at Tommy Hilfiger. He went to Tommy Hilfiger. He took me to the office. I met Tommy, his brother, very nice family. And, you know, I told my contact person what I wanted to do. And, you know, I'm having a fashion show. Tommy Hilfiger, you know, would be awesome for him to be a sponsor by placing his product within the fashion show, so people could come out and see what he's offering. So they agreed, because and many times a renowned, excuse me, designer such as Tommy Hilfiger and other companies will not allow just anyone to use their image. They've been in business for many years. They have a good relationship. They're reputable. But in this case, this was a rumor being said. So they agreed to be a sponsor of my show. In return, I showcased their clothing. The media came in because they wanted to see this new clothing with Tommy Hilfiger. I told them it was a children's fashion show. It was published. The show was published in the New York Daily News. And also, parents seen, you know, they were Go ahead.
No, that's great. Go ahead.
They were informed by, you know, I told them this rumor is not true, et cetera. And to this day, if a child, including my son, who was in the fashion show, if my son has to choose between purchasing a Tommy Hilfiger clothing versus another piece of clothing, which one do you think he will take to this day, including the families who participated and attended that show?
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm sure
it was
used to Tommy because of that great relationship.
Pretty much, and you are correct. And how would that generate revenue? People would pay to come out and see their family and friends and, you know, in the fashion show and to see not only support the children but to see what Tommy Hilfiger has to offer on the line. So sponsorship is a way also to generate revenue.
Mm-hmm. So can I give you a specific example and see if you might be able to help me figure out how I could use sponsorship?
Oh, like that.
My husband and I live in our motorhome full time. We've been on the road now for, close to 6 years. It'll be 6 years in January.
Nice.
And one of the things that I have wanted to do is to do a one-year-long tour where every week I'm going in a different city, preferably to a Starbucks, where I would get together with entrepreneurs in that area to talk about how entrepreneurs can use alliances like joint ventures and strategic alliances to improve their business. And through that tour, I really, really want to use it as a vehicle for connecting offline business owners with online business owners. So when I go into these Starbucks, I want to stream that online so that I can, you know, get people saying, hey, I could use that, or hey, I've got this, that could help them, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And
is this Londra or Gina?
No, this is Gina.
Hey, Gina, okay, just so I can understand, just so I can understand what you're saying and give you the best advice that I know how to.
Sure.
Can you break it down like this for me? It's two things when you're planning a sponsorship event, and this is how I would like for you to tell me the story. One, what is the purpose of what you're doing? The traveling for 1 year, what's the purpose? Now, I think your purpose is, I didn't get that clearly. And then the second thing, which is so important, Gina, please, I need to know what is the expected outcome, because those two things may be identical, but yet it may be different. So one thing I'm hearing is that you and your husband, you want to do a year-long tour across country within the U.S. What's the purpose of that, and what are you expecting? That way I can better help you with advise you with the sponsorship.
So there are two purposes.
Okay.
The two purposes are, number one, to bring more people into Directions University, which you'll find at directionsu.com. Directions University is my company's training programs for entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And there are three schools within it. There's the School of Personal Success, there's the School of Business and Marketing, and in 2011, we're opening the School of Health and Wellness. So bringing entrepreneurs specifically, or people who want to have their own businesses, into training programs that fall under those three topics. That's one purpose. The second purpose is to launch an association that I like to call Alliances. I don't know if that's definitely going to be the name, but that's how I envision it. Mm-hmm. Alliances is the Entrepreneurial Alliance Association that brings businesses all over the globe, on and offline, together to help businesses learn about leverage, specifically the leverage that comes from relationships with other business owners, so that businesses of all different types can really grow faster, get bigger results without having to spend gobs of money doing it because it comes from the alliances. So those are the two purposes on my end. The outcome is that this will help to build a base of members for the association that has an area online where people can go and find alliance partners that they can work with to help grow their business. Does that make sense?
So it does. So your expected outcome is to build a large network where people can share their resources to build.
Yeah.
Okay. I totally have you. Now, you would look at, I always say start within your community.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good place to start, and businesses within your community. I'm sure there are businesses who share the same purpose as you do and who are looking
okay.
for the same outcome. So let's say you talk to Gee Whiz Rhonda. Rhonda, this is what I'm looking to do. Rhonda said, hey, I have a friend in the, Gee Whiz. I have a friend, let's say, in the beverage company who is looking for visibility. So you would then talk to that entrepreneur and see, you know, if they can give you, put up funds for signage while their name is on that banner. Or you can even go to a bigger beverage company, of course. Coca-Cola a lot of time relates and Pepsi relates to entrepreneurs. For some reason, they're always doing something with, this is not entertainment, but they're always doing something with professionals. So,
well, one of the things that I think might happen is because we do live in our RV full time, I attract tons of people who are also interested in having their own business so that they too can live in an RV. My husband
right.
used to work in the RV industry, and I've been thinking about possibly going to some of the RV manufacturers that he still has many connections with to see if we can't get an RV company to help sponsor the trip. And I would also need something that has a nationwide set of locations that can help give us a place to go to do this all over the country for a year.
That's why she mentioned the Starbucks, yeah.
That's why I mentioned Starbucks. It's the only thing I can think of that has a nationwide chain of locations that we could use for these meetings. Can we go after that kind of a resource through a sponsorship? Is that possible?
It is. Starbucks allowing you to use their venue, and you don't have to sneak into their place to use it. And they can even the news will follow you. You'll get the publicity that you need.
Yeah.
Starbucks is a form by them allowing you to use their location is a form of sponsorship. And for them, because the publicity, you just call the radio station, television station, say, hey, this is my schedule. I'm going to be at Starbucks here on this date. Starbucks will love that. They'll say, hey, use my place. Matter of fact, if you want to travel, out of the country where I am, I'll take you there too. That's how far that can go.
Wow.
It's a mutual gain for you because you're achieving your purpose, which leads to your expected outcome.
Absolutely. Okay, good. Well, it's something that I definitely want to do in the next 3 years. We don't know how long we're going to be on the road. We expect to be on the road for the next 30 or 40 years. That's how much we love living this kind of a lifestyle. So I can do it at any time. But, boy, what a cool, cool way to bring the message mm-hmm. that I have, which is if you use leverage to grow your business and connect with other businesses to build your business, you can have a much bigger impact on the world. And that's really the message that I have for entrepreneurs, and I can't think of a better way to get that message out than to do that kind of a trip.
Rhonda,
Sure, go ahead. I would have have a question for you. I mean, yes, and I agree with you, that kind of trip would be tremendous because it is a living symbol of freedom. When you have
yes.
the freedom to be constantly moving around at your own will, I don't think there are very many bigger, you know, realistic symbols of freedom as far as a lifestyle because of that. So now let's, you know, talk connecting with these guys. And where when you want to have a sponsor, Roberta, how do you then approach them? Who in that company do you need to look for with your idea to say, okay, Starbucks, you know, here's what we have in mind or whatever the company
is? Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Because mm-hmm. that's when my thing is, like, if I get the idea and I understand who would benefit and how this would help further their brand as well, but, like, who do you find in the company? It seems to be kind of you know, it's great if you can connect with the right person, but otherwise it takes a lot of time.
And a lot of people do get discouraged because they do not know where to start. But I'll tell you, the most simplest place to start is by going into a Starbucks and say, may I speak with your manager? And your the manager will then lead you up the ladder to the marketing person who works for the corporate company of Starbucks. Or that person may even work in the public relations department. More likely, it will be the marketing department. The good thing about walking into Starbucks, asking to speak to a manager, because they'll give you a direct name and a direct number to who you need to speak with and where you need to call. Another option is Google, Yahoo it. Look at the search engine. And look for Starbucks corporate office. A lot of these companies do have corporate office. You call them, and if you're able to get through, because sometimes, you know, you're just not, but you just keep trying. There's always a way. If you're able to get through, you'll ask to speak with someone in the marketing department. And when you make that contact, you introduce yourself, you keep it brief, let them know the purpose. Let them know the expected outcome because, you know, you're new. You have to respect their time, too. And more likely, 9 times out of 10, they would say, okay, send me your sponsorship proposal. And you can find more about that on the site. But they'll say, send me your sponsorship proposal. You keep your sponsorship proposal very simple, and you will send it into them. Now, if you get a no, and they're just too busy, and don't get discouraged. Remember, it's your passion. It's your dream. They're not saying no to your dream. They're just saying no at that time. Try back later or try to speak to someone else in the marketing department.
Okay. Starbucks specifically actually has something that they call a community partnership division or department. And their community partnership program is actually a specific program within Starbucks
mm-hmm.
that is set up to help improve communities that Starbucks are located in. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if I should potentially contact the community partnership division, because I think this is a good example of ways to help improve communities that Starbucks might be located in. Is that a good place to start? Or
that's,
should I start with the marketing department?
Both. Both. The thing is, when you call one place, they may not see your vision. They may not be passionate about what you know, gee whiz. They may not be passionate about your vision, about your purpose. So you try both, because the other person may say, yes, this is what I can relate to what you're saying, and this is what we need, and this is what I'm looking for. Thank you. So let's say I'm talking to you, to Rhonda and Gina right now. One person may be more interested, let's just say you're working for the same team, but more interested than the other person. You see, so you try both.
Gotcha.
Don't
okay.
don't stick with one. Try both.
It's a great suggestion.
Excellent. Yeah, that's good to know that you can do that and that they don't consider it a bad form or something like that if you do.
No, I don't, you know, and I don't worry about that because it could seem like, you know, it seems on the other end you're being a little pushy, you're cutthroating, but you're not bringing any harm. You have
right.
a passion. Look how many people, you know, have had passion and they've been rejected so many times. Sometimes you have, you know, hey, you can't talk to your mom, so you're going to talk to your grandmother. You can't talk to dad, so you're going to talk to mom. I mean, you're not coming with bad intentions, and that's how I see it. If both
right.
said no, okay, I'll take it as a no, and I'll move on. You could even go to their competitor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a great idea. And Sandra Noble says in the chat, how about executive suites and private business clubs? They're not nationwide, but many are regional. That's another really good suggestion. Thanks, Sandra.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And for anyone else on the air with us, feel free to ask questions and put them into the chat, and we will gladly get you answers on the show today.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Sponsorship
yeah,
is...
that's great. So this is, I mean, I really like this. So what I'm hearing, and, you know, I always like to just reflect back different things to help our listeners to see it, is it's again, talking about matching up what you need, who is likely to be able to provide that, and, of course, the what's in it for them being able to do that. So, you know, if it's like the Starbucks having a community-based program where they're wanting to improve the communities they're in, the win for the Starbucks to be involved in your project would be that if it's truly something that will help improve the communities, they would want to
yeah.
get behind that because it would further their brand. And also, you know, Starbucks, as an example, is really trying to reinvent themselves because with the economic situation, they've been expanding out from the lattes and what have you because their
yeah.
people are cutting back their latte budget on the whole. So now they're starting to serve beer and wine and do different things to make it the after-work hangout. So it would really tie into their mission of improving communities and, of course, help them boost their business by having Starbucks as a sponsor of this.
Absolutely.
And so then the suggestion you have with the big company as to, well, where on earth do you connect with them, either to find the marketing director or to find somebody who's involved with whatever their community outreach program is called for the different companies, and to connect with them and try one, and if you can't get in or if you get a no, just try the other and keep moving.
Pretty much. You summed it up perfectly, and that's the truth. When you call companies, the receptionists or your friends, they will guide you to who you need to speak with.
Oh, that's a good point.
So wasn't that always the way? It's really funny. I always tell people, no matter what you're doing, be really good to the person who's answering the phone.
Yeah,
be nice
the
to them,
gatekeeper.
Pay them a compliment. You know, they are the gatekeeper, and if you are nice to them and you treat them like a human and not like an automaton or whatever, you're much more likely to get what you want out of everything because you're being nice to them. And obviously, we're not talking about being false here. It's good policy always to be good to people, but especially remember how hard those frontline people work and that they're always the one that gets the first brunt of a complaint,
right.
a criticism, you know, whatever, they get it first. And so you want to be as understanding of that and really treat them well.
Hey,
absolutely.
Something that just came to mind, and I think Gina said it, a good place to start, I think I'm saying the same thing, but Jeannie, you said that you wanted to start with the RV companies that's close to you. I've even thought about and went back to places where I've worked in the past. If you're like me, I've been working since the age of 16 at corporations and pretty much still have pretty good relationships with those companies, and I can, you know, I was able to go back to them and say, hey, you know, would you sponsor this event? So you can even, you know, it's not that hard. You go back to your ex-boss and say, hey, would you sponsor this? I know pretty much about your company. I think it's going to benefit you.
Well, my husband's worked at 9 different RV manufacturers over the years, so that's exactly what I had in mind. And I know that the RV industry right now is really hurting because of the economic conditions here in the U.S., many of them have closed their doors, But at the same time, many of the people who have been employed by the companies that are closing their doors are now going off as groups and forming their own RV companies. There are three startups that we know of that in the last 4 months, all of them have big funding behind them so that they're likely to be able to go out and afford to do a sponsorship. And what better way to let them help get exposure for their new company than through something like this? And I'm hoping that if I can come up with some alliances that can help the RV company that I want to approach, that they'll see the purpose as something that's even bigger because they've just benefited from it.
Right. Yeah, that's great because you're
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
You would be serving the RV company as well. And if you're saying, look, along this route, one of the goals is to find alliance partners for you, Mr. RV company, you know, we're finding alliance partners for you where you can then get your message into different communities about the power of the RV. They might even do something like give you a new RV of theirs to use or who knows what could happen from that, right?
Right. Well, and, you know, I've always, when I'm approaching joint ventures, looked at it as if you serve someone else and help them get what they want first, it's always much easier to get what you want later. You know, the law of reciprocity kicks in. So I wouldn't just start by saying, hey, Mr. RV Company, one of the purposes is to help you find people to partner with. I would actually do that intentionally, find someone that does have something to benefit them first, bring that to them, set the full alliance up, and then tell them about the possibility of a sponsorship. Because I think they're going to get it better at that point.
They'll have a living example because they've just experienced the power of joint ventures in that way.
Precisely. But what I'm talking about is really kind of a big thing, right? It's not very little. Can you only use sponsorships when it comes to big things like that? Mm-hmm. Or can you use sponsorships for smaller things as well?
I've recently used sponsorship for a church. A church started a program, educational program in a church, and they needed a desk. So, something as simple as a desk. You know, I went to a furniture company within that neighborhood where the church is located and asked them to sponsor a desk to hold the books. They did do it in return for the church members who live in the community or attend the church within the community to go to that furniture store and support that furniture store. So
great idea.
Anytime that I've solicited for sponsorship, I make sure that it's a win-win. I do not go there and say, hey, I'm going to work for you for free because I love what you're doing and I want to help you. I'm going to you saying, hey, I have, you know, passion about this or I believe in this and I want to help this cause. And it's going to benefit you also. So, you know, I think it's more exciting to them to know that, okay, I'm helping a cause. I'm partnering with, you know, a new audience, or I'm becoming more up close and personal with my own audience. So, you know, I find it more, to me, satisfying and gratifying to say I'm coming to you to shake hands. You know, it's a win-win.
Online, people know me as the JV Queen, which stands for the Joint Venture Queen. I was one of the people that set up some of the biggest product launches around early in the 2000s. So what I'm hearing you say is no different than what I've always done as a joint venture consultant or a JV broker. And it's not just about the win-win. It's actually three wins. It's a win for each of the businesses, but most importantly, it's a win for the customers as well.
Definitely.
And many times, just because of the win for the customers, the two businesses benefit as well.
Well, yeah, absolutely correct. It's a win for the consumers. It's a win for the families because it's not all the families, say, of cancer, whoever you're helping, the artist, the musician. It is a win-win. Now, remember, and I totally agree with you, remember, your passion is helping your audience. So it is a three-way. It is a three-way.
Yeah.
Correct. You're absolutely correct. Win-win-win.
And can sponsorships only work when you're doing something for a cause or for a nonprofit organization, or can they be used by for-profit companies as well?
Explain to me, because I'm a for-profit. I'm not a nonprofit organization.
Great. So what I just heard you talking about with regard to the church, that works great because the church is a nonprofit, and helping the nonprofit is a tax deduction for the furniture store that gave them the desk, but they still make money from the furniture store standpoint, but the church wouldn't. Could you use that same example for, say, a travel agency, and the travel agency needs a new desk? Could they make this work as well with the travel agency getting a desk?
Of course, because the agents at that travel agency, they have business cards, and they can say, "Hey, we'll promote your business at the back on the other side of my business card." So every time I give someone, who walks into the office, or even they call on the phone to learn about the traveling agency to live in the neighborhood, let's just say, or this is a company like Staples who has different locations, right? They can, as you listening and you're waiting for the travel agent, you can hear the commercial. It could be for a for-profit organization or for-profit companies also.
Is there anything that you need to do differently if it's for-profit instead of non-profit that's going to benefit from it?
Well, I've worked, I'm a non-profit, so I've done the majority of securing sponsorship for my events, and as I mentioned, I did some for just for the church, actually, and I didn't have to do anything different. I didn't do the tax number or, I don't know if it's because of the amount, but sometimes people put away the traditional way of doing things just because they want to help the cause.
Gotcha. And how do you work when you're working with other companies as a consultant? How do you get paid? What would someone hire you for? That kind of thing.
Normally, to review their sponsorship proposal, I could take a look at a sponsorship proposal, and I've seen it quite a few times where people say, "Hey, I'm looking for sponsorship. Here's my sponsorship proposal." And I look at it and say, "Gee whiz, you forgot the bulk of the information that can help you secure the sponsor." So what I do, I review sponsorship proposals, and I would even write someone's sponsorship proposal for them.
Oh, wow, what a huge help. And Rhonda, how does someone find Roberta's site?
Well, you are going to go to eventsandsponsors.com. You'll find Roberta. You'll see that she has some information there. She has the About page, of course, has a contact email for her. And so that way you could find Roberta and talk to her about reviewing your proposal. And I'll tell you, I haven't done a sponsorship proposal, but I had been working on a book proposal, and it is always good to have somebody who knows what they're doing be able to have a look and say, "Oh, you need to strengthen this, you left that out," whatever it is that's going to help it to be successful. So that in itself, beyond everything else, of course, that Roberta does, but that in itself is hugely valuable. And Roberta, you have also an ebook there on your site. Talk to us a little bit about what's in that ebook and how that would help people.
The ebook is a step-by-step guide to planning events that are tied into sponsorship. I show them how I planned from fashion shows to seminars to talent shows, and they can customize the chapter called Basic Sponsorship Event. They can customize that to plan what Gina spoke about and to plan other events. That's the first set of chapters. The other chapter goes into how to secure sponsors successfully. It talks about what sponsorship is. It talks about, at times, it's not always about money. Sponsorship is not always getting money. It could be getting products. It could be getting services or even a celebrity. If a celebrity can attend your event, it generates revenue to your event, and it can generate publicity to that image also. If you, you know, sometimes you may think it could be a crossover audience to that celebrity. The book also talks about how to write a sponsorship proposal. So if, you know, anyone wants to follow those directions, that's the way they can write the proposal for themselves. And mm-hmm. It may not even need my service. You know, may just ask me to fine-tune it for them, you know. But
hopefully in that book you also show people how they can work with you, and whether it's to hire you to review their proposal or for other things. I hope that you do have that inside the ebook.
Yes, that's an option. I believe I do have it there that they can contact me to review their proposal for them. And the book also comes with a one-time free consultation. So after they have read the book and have any questions, hey, send me an email. I'm glad to chat it up with you and tell you what you should do. I really look forward to seeing more positive events out there, Gina, with what you're doing. I always wanted to drive across country, right? And this is just for leisure. I'm a car person. I would love to sit in a SUV and just drive and stop in a motel, sleep, get up, and have a cup of coffee and keep it moving. Unfortunately, I can't find anyone who wants to do it with me, and I don't want to do it by myself.
Oh, I have tons of people that would love to do that with you.
Yeah.
So we will definitely have to connect after the show and see if I can't help you get in touch with somebody.
To do it
in an RV, and, you know, they now have these small RVs that they call
Class
B mini homes. You don't have to stay in hotels. You get your own bed with your own pillow every night. One of you can be in the back making some coffee as you're driving along the Colorado River from Utah to Illinois. It's an incredible experience to be able to tour the country in that way. I can't recommend it highly enough.
What kind of gas does the RV use? What kind of gas?
The one that I drive is the size of a bus. I drive a 45-foot motorhome. It's called a Class A. It has four slide-outs. So with all four slide-outs out, I'm 45 feet long. Width on it up in the front is 16 feet. In the back, it's 14 feet. So I'm driving a huge bus. We only get about 5 to 6 miles to the gallon using diesel. But in these Class B mini homes that are essentially larger vans, so they're not, you know, super huge, they're about 20 to 23 feet, it's not unusual for those to get more like 20 to 23 miles to the gallon, and yet you still have a generator, so wherever you are, you have power. Winnebago just came out with a new unit that I really want to get to tow behind my big bus. And that particular unit can sleep four people. It actually has six workstations built into it. It has a satellite on the top that also is a satellite internet connection. And that particular kind of a unit gets about 18 to 20 miles to the gallon. I want to create a rolling classroom using that. So instead of towing a car, I would tow that behind the big bus.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. have both that and the bus wrapped. And when I go to do this tour, that's one of the things that I really want to get a sponsor to help me arrange. I could have six workstations in it and call it the Directions University Rolling Classroom or Mobile Classroom, going out to these mm-hmm. Starbucks and getting people who actually come out to the little bus with us, the little mini home, and we could hold classes right there in the parking lot of Starbucks.
Now, you don't want the sponsor to help you arrange it. You want the sponsor to assist you in implementing it. You
yeah,
are the
correct.
Arranger. You are the planner.
Yeah.
They are the implementer.
Yeah, I want
right.
the I'm actually going to approach Winnebago to help me get that rolling classroom.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know what would be great is that, and then if something like Dell Computer or whatever would sponsor getting a laptop for people that were going to take a certain class with you go into that little bus. And then the other nice thing about having that little extra bus is if you wanted to drag a couple members of your team for parts of
uh-huh.
the trip or whatever, you could do that without having to give up your own personal space and your routine or whatever for them to join for some of that tour.
Exactly, because I do have my assistant with us quite often, and my husband just, you know, it's tough when you live in a 45-foot-long bus to have other people coming in with you. The,
right.
the bathroom is essentially inside of the bedroom. So mm-hmm. there's a separate door to the bathroom, but if you wanted to be in the bedroom and close the door, nobody else can get into the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pain in the neck. Having that mini home, someone else would have their own apartment essentially behind the bus, and
mm-hmm.
I could have anybody I wanted to stay with us all the time because we'd each have our own space.
Right, exactly.
So
and that would be nice, so if you had times when there were certain people, even if they were going to join you for part of a tour, like certain experts or whatever,
yeah.
To do part of it, having your assistant there or whatever, you could do that as well and just add to the quality and scope of the events in that way. And then I do like the idea of getting someone to fund, like, computers or other things that people would use to help them get started in their own business.
Absolutely. So something else I wanted to talk about with Roberta, early in my career as an entrepreneur in the late 90s,
mm-hmm.
I had come online because of an illness that had left me in a hospital bed and wheelchair for nearly 10 years. I needed $40,000 a month in medications just to keep me alive.
Mm-hmm.
To help make sure that I had those medical bills met, one of the things that I had done a lot of early on was creating ebooks in specific niches like crocheting or rose gardening or things like that, very specific, narrowly defined niches. And if I just wrote the ebook and put the ebook out there or even go find someone to write it for me if I didn't have the knowledge on the topic, to go out and sell it for $10 to $20, I'd need a lot of sales to make my $40,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I did was I would approach stores that would be interested in sponsoring the products that I was putting out there. So a crocheting product that I had for a number of years was a little ebook about crocheting. It talked in detail about yarn selection and hook selection. And the sponsor that I got for it was Hobby Lobby. And I would get an upfront fee for including the Hobby Lobby sponsored ad up in the front, on the download page, in the back, in a number of different places. And then each person that bought the ebook would get a coupon for a discount at Hobby Lobby. And each person would create a list that I then shared with Hobby Lobby. They would pay me, I think when I first started, they were paying me $1 per lead, and by the end it was $5 per lead. So that each person I put onto their subscriber list made me money on top of the buyer of the ebook.
Mm-hmm.
That easily brought in an extra $20,000 to $30,000 a month that I would never have made just selling a $10 or $20 ebook. It's really a form of sponsorship. The ads in the book would always say sponsored by and the name of the company, would have a link to their website if they had one. It would have their locations listed in the back if they had a bunch of them. And it became a great way to make that much more money from these little ebooks that I was putting out there. And sometimes I didn't even write them myself. The one on rose gardening, I didn't write. Although I am a rose gardener, I wouldn't call myself an expert at rose gardening.
Right.
So I found someone that I could interview to create that ebook. I put that one out there, and Frank's Nursery was my sponsor on the rose gardening book.
Hmm.
It's
oh,
a
yeah.
really good way.
We need to teach that as a class.
Mm-hmm.
We need to teach that strategy as a class.
It's certainly a great way to supplement what you'd make from an ebook. I learned it from someone else. There was an ebook out in 98, I think, when I first started doing this, that talked about ways of making more money from small little ebooks that you'd put out there. That's an example of sponsorship, right?
I've definitely thought about it, and now that the I'm comfortable with where the ebook is. The pricing was one of the most fussiest thing for me because the book is actually two books in one. It's 2-1. One talks about how to plan the sponsorship events, and the other one talks about how to secure a sponsor. So it's a 2-in-1 guide. So my next step, my next move is to attach a sponsor to my book. So I have to be strategic, because that's the homework right there, thinking, how this sponsor is going to genuinely benefit from the sponsorship. Because at times, the companies are becoming more sensible. I don't like the sponsorship, hey, just give me your name. And, for the name's sake, it has to be a company that I would continue to support, that I would tell everyone to support, that my son will support, his friends will support. So it has to be a good company because I'm looking at
a good example of a good example of a sponsor that would work really well for you with your book is my Directions University brand. It would be a great example because anyone that is interested in sponsorship is also interested in having a business of some sort, or they already have one. Otherwise, why would they want the sponsorship, right?
True. Exactly.
Whether it's nonprofit or for-profit, what I teach works for both, and I have both sets of customers and clients. My students have nonprofits and for-profit businesses. So
let's talk about that after the show. Let's talk about that then. And see how
we definitely plan on that. I would be thrilled to look into the possibilities because it would fit you and it would really serve my people as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I got to talk to you about your cover and your title of that ebook.
Yeah.
It needs help so that it can be the attractive magnetic tool because it's maybe sad but true, but people do judge a book by its cover. And you have such an amazingly awesome message that I want to see it really shine and stand out. So we'll
definitely
help you with
agree.
That.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
But at first, the first time that I released the book, I stole quite a few. My face was on the cover. My face was on the cover of it, and not because I'm vain, because I say, hey, no one can sue me if I, use their pictures. So I said, well, I'll not put my own face. Then I changed it. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not that cute anymore, so let me just put the text, honestly.
Oh, the picture on the about page is a great picture of you, Roberta.
There are ways to use pictures without worrying about getting sued, but I'll tell you that, just a plain cover, it's like, you think about what you go when you go to a bookstore, and this is true for any product cover, so it's kind of why I'm mentioning it, but when you go to a bookstore or when you see something about a product, part of the appeal is that the cover makes you go, ooh, what is that? And if it's a whole boatload of words on black with a little banner, it kind of says, nah, I'm not that interesting. I'm not saying the content isn't interesting. I'm just saying by the cover.
Right.
For anybody, when you're making a product, you really want it to basically have it say,
pick me up or go look on the page and see what I'm all about or whatever.
And say this
and
can help.
And it becomes
yeah,
so
right.
important. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
and
we'll definitely make sure. That, yeah.
Even the color of the cover and the color of the website can have a massive impact on what people think when they first see it. Color has a psychological implication to it, and often color and its meaning or impression will change based on culture. So in U.S. and Canada, people, seeing black is usually something that's fairly negative. It's a symbol of death more than anything. You don't want someone feeling the feelings you'd feel with death when they see the cover of your ebook. Red here in the U.S. is typically a warning color. It can tell someone to stop. It can tell someone to stand down or something along those lines. In Asian cultures, red is the color of birth and growth and all these other really good things. Often in Asian cultures, like in Cambodia and Japan, wedding dresses are usually red. Not white,
mm-hmm.
like they are here in the U.S. So even thinking about the color is extremely important. I would also make one extremely significant improvement in your website.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
already have a blog. You've got great content on that blog. That content
yes.
is exactly what your readers and your prospects and your customers want. I would not keep it buried on a page called blog. I would take the blog and put the blog right up front so that when you go to eventsandsponsors.com, what you're really coming to is the blog.
Mm-hmm.
I would make the
right.
blog feel more like an online magazine than like a blog, the way that it looks now.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to do two things for you. First, having the blog on the main page drastically improves results in the searches and the search engines. By having the blog on the home page, you almost always will improve your search engine ranking without doing anything else. But even more importantly, as people are finding the website, when they do get to the website, if you've got the book on the main page, it makes them feel like you're selling to them. Quite often, they're not even going to go read the blog because of the fact that they felt sold to. They didn't feel served. And yet, with the blog there, it really is serving them. They just don't realize it. So by
right.
shifting the blog to the front page, the way that traffic happens, people usually come in not to the main page when they find the site in the search engines, but to the page that contains the word they put in the search engine. So usually that's going to be a page or an article on the blog. Once they get there and they read the thing that really helps them with the issue that they had, if they really feel like you served them, the next thing they do is they go to the main page of the site. Even if you don't have a home button, they'll go up to their address bar and type in eventsandsponsors.com just to go and see what's there. If they get there and that's only the second thing they're seeing, the relationship isn't solidified yet. It's still very new. And so the whole issue of selling to them instead of serving them comes back all over again. Usually they need to see about 7 pages, sometimes more, before they make a buying decision. If
mm-hmm.
you can cause them to continue feeling served by coming to the home page, seeing the other things that are there that do serve them, namely the posts, if each post then leads them back to the book, now they can keep reading, keep getting more information, and each time they're subtly reminded that you've got a book that will give them the step-by-step detail of how to do what you just told them to do in the post. The conversions on your book are likely to go up somewhere between 6 and 12 times just from that one change. Don't make any other changes. Just move the blog to the homepage, and you'll likely see that type of an outcome.
Okay.
Right. And I work with authors a lot, of course, Roberta, as I know you are aware, but in working with authors, one of the biggest mistakes I see people make is the very front page of their website, the first place people come, that book cover is slapped all over there, and all that says is, buy my book. It doesn't matter if it's an e-book or a print book. It's the, you know, the effect is the same. And that's really what Gina's talking about is then you feel like, oh, well, they just want to sell books. They don't really care about me. And your blog is great. You know, you do a great job on there. So it's a big deal. And the colors, and I think, let me double check that link. I know, Gina, that you have a link to a great article that's about colors.
I think it's just askggg.com/color, if I'm not mistaken.
I was double-checking to see if it was color or plural. And it is
I have to share this information, too, with my web designer because I told him to do, you know, pretty much what he wants. I did choose the what's black and white and red all over, so I just thought that was good because sharing the information will benefit, you know, people not only within the U.S. but overseas also. So I'll share that.
And that little slideshow that rotates on your homepage that has different pictures and some words on it?
Yes.
The words that are in it are all primarily white until you get to the one slide that has in bigger print than in any of the others, 2-in-1, $27.95. The thing that jumps out at you more than anything else on this page is
$27.95.
That is not the thing you want to jump out at someone the first time they come to your website.
Hang on a second. Just so you know, as I was talking, or as I was deciding whether I wanted to ask you to be on the show, looking at your homepage, I would have said, oh, no, she's just all about sales. But I read through some of your blog and realized that you really did have a lot to share. So I thought, well, you know, some of what we do is really help people in improving aspects of their business and everything. So that's great. And I can tell through your blog that you really were serving people well. It just doesn't come through at all on the homepage, and the, you know, the green all over the place is hard for a lot of people too, but I knew from reading your blog that you really were providing service. So, you know, that's because part of what we do is teach, you know, that made a difference.
See, and that's the beauty when a person can share and teach about the subject that they know best about. And I know about the sponsorship. Everything else I am learning here, so I truly appreciate the feedback that you're giving me. Now, you know, if someone would implement it for me, would it be you guys or my website designer?
Either one. I can certainly help get you connected to one of the people that Rhonda and I work with that can implement this for you pretty easily. And, you know, what's really great is if you move the blog to the main page, that blog can now contain the articles that are part of your blog right this minute, but the blog can also have pages. So the other pages that are on your website right now, the home page, the about page, the press release page, can actually go right into the WordPress system so that all of the pages share the navigation links, whether they're reading an article or the about page, all of the navigation is controlled by the blog. And it makes it so easy. Here's the part you're going to love. It makes it so easy that as long as you know how to use a word processor like Microsoft Word, you can manage your own website without having anybody else help you once it's set up.
Wow.
Wouldn't
yep.
that be
Isn't
a
that cool?
really great gift to
have? Yeah, definitely. So what I will do then is have your people speak with my web designer, then I can get the
We'd
ending.
We'd be happy to have that happen.
Yeah, and I have the ending of it because it sounds like this information would actually help me get the message across, which is about sponsorship and how people can help
Absolutely.
Them. they want to learn more, they can go into the book. So that, both that
you and your web designer should sign up at 30dayimchallenge.com. It's the number 30 day, I for Internet, M for Marketing, 30dayimchallenge.com. It's completely free. If you email me your user ID for the 30-Day I Am Challenge, have your designer do this as well, I will upgrade you to Gold Member at no charge, and I will also give you a copy of my course called 21 Days to Blogging Profits, which is a little bit more like a course than an ebook. There's a number of components, including audios and videos and flowcharts and whatnot, to help your designer understand the way that I teach people to use blogs. And that you would benefit from going through it as well. So that's my gift to you today.
I truly appreciate it. And without even spreading myself too thin, I'll continue on with the sponsorship. And what I would like to do too and add in my upcoming blogs is to find out what companies are, what type of events companies are sponsoring and when they are open to receiving, accepting budget. So that's something that I want to do. So I'll let the designer do this part, and I love to learn, especially to be able to change the website myself. Of course, I would love to do that because I know he is sick and tired of me. I'm always making changes. Hey, can you put the period here? Can you put this in italics? Can you, you know, and I would love to do
that. Isn't that great to be able to do that yourself?
Yes.
Whenever you want, even if it's 4 a.m?
Yes.
I love that with WordPress. I love that. And that's great. And then, you know, Roberta, of course, I gave to Roberta the copy of the Instant VIP ebook, which will definitely drastically help you with your ebook. And there is a section in there that's about how a person makes a book buying decision that'll really help you with your cover and your title and some of the other elements. And that'll work for your ebook. And when you might decide to put that into print, it would also help you. So that's going to be a good thing for you moving forward in terms of how that book becomes the most powerful possible lead generator for you.
Okay. And can I share the email address that's on your about page? We have some people in the chat who are interested in talking to you and getting your help on events and sponsorship. Is that okay?
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
So to connect with Roberta directly, you can email her at service and events, plural, and sponsors, plural, .com. eventsandsponsors.com. And sponsors, for all of you who need to know it, is SPONSORS, eventsandsponsors.com. Service at eventsandsponsors.com is how you can connect with Roberta directly. And I know I will definitely be connecting with you, Roberta, to get your help with this tour that I want to do. Oh, it would be such a godsend to me. So I will gladly help you with getting your website up to par and really serving you and have you help me as well.
So we'll sponsor each other, bartering.
There you go. That works for me.
That is right.
I just had this conversation with two of my students last night, and we were talking about the whole concept of bartering and why people don't use bartering anymore when it used to be the primary way that business was done in the world. A couple of years ago, I was working with a guy from Germany, and he was building a site that never did get finished. He had about $100,000 into it, and his funding source dried up, so he couldn't finish it. But the site was going to be a way to systemize bartering among people all over the world. And one of the things I learned from him was that in Germany specifically, bartering is used more than anywhere else in the world. And I don't know what to happen, but they actually in Germany have like a little, it's kind of like a credit card of sorts that tracks the value exchange between people who are bartering, so that you can actually become part of a group of people who trade all different kinds of products and services through bartering. And I thought that was such an amazing way to be able to do business on an ongoing basis.
I love
especially with the economic issues that we've got. Why not use bartering?
Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorites. I mean, I have been able to garner so much through bartering and really giving where people are, you know, excited and needing it, and everything is working out for everyone's mutual benefit. It's so much fun to me.
It is very exciting. And Rhonda, I was actually thinking, actually Gina, about your trip. You online companies. What's good? What I like about online companies is that you can be anywhere, any part of the world, and they'll ship products. You know. So, Gina, to save money, even when you're on the road on food, you can get, you know, a company that actually delivers to any part of the world, and they deliver your food to you. Just tell them where you're stopping and wherever, however it works out. You'll have to think that part out. But you can save, imagine, you know, how much, let's say you spend, you know, every month $400 or $500
on
food.
Yeah, right. I eat out
night.
7 days a week. I have not cooked in my motorhome in 5 years. I've cooked one meal in five and a half years since we've been on the road. I've made dinner once. We don't eat any meals in our motorhome. It's a pain in the neck for us to cook. I do have a microwave with a convection oven. I do have a toaster oven that's a little oversized, so it's like a regular oven and broiler, and I have a two-burner stove. So I have a complete kitchen, including this motorhome that we got 6 weeks ago actually has a dishwasher in it.
But wow, so that's where you spend $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month.
Probably $1,500 to $2,000.
On food, you can save that by getting a sponsor and put their banner on your wagon, or
see, that
know,
would be outstanding.
Come on, so you want
you guys? I'm sorry, but you guys go to Cracker Barrel a lot. You know, even if you have several places, or two or three places, you know, or whatever, like Cracker Barrel being one of them. I know you stop your coach there a lot, so that would be a great way to think of that. And then
what's great about Cracker Barrel is that they always have parking for RVs. If you look at a map that Cracker Barrel gives out, in their map, the stores that have access for RV parking all have little asterisks by it. And they actually really go a long way to encourage RVers to stop at Cracker Barrel. And it's so convenient. You can stop, not have to take the car off at all, go in, grab your dinner. And then the next morning when you're ready to leave, you can go in, have your breakfast, and then pull out without having to detach a car from the RV every time. It saves us about an hour each time we stop to do that.
Right.
That's a great example of a sponsor that we should definitely look into right away, Rhonda. Good job.
Right. And then I have an idea for one of my own things. I have a book I just put out last month. It's called That Was Easy, and it's the subtitle is The Busy Entrepreneur's Guide for How to Resist. That Was Easy is kind of inspired by Staples, and if I could have used the easy button on the cover, I would have. So I thought I would like to reach out to Staples and see if they would be a sponsor, offer a discount and whatever, and be an official sponsor, and then be able to use that easy button logo in conjunction with the book.
Fantastic idea.
Good.
I like that a lot.
So, Roberta, does that sound like a good thing to you? And is there any advice that you can give for that I should be thinking of?
Well, I was just honestly a little distracted. I'm sorry. For the most part, I'll tell you, the last thing I would like to say about sponsorship is to whoever you decide to partner yourself with, you know, just be committed. Keep your promise, keep your commitment to them. If anything unforeseeable happens, I know, you know, some may be thinking like, hey, you know, I promise you this, what happens if, you know, something unforeseeable happens, you can't help it. Just call your sponsor. It's a relationship. Call your sponsor and say, hey,
right.
Happened. Plans, we have to change the plan, we have to alter it to make sense.
just don't never call. The thing that you want to do most is just be committed to your sponsor. Don't, and a friend actually had to remind me of this. He said, Roberta, remember to purchase your sponsor's product, because I get so carried away at times that it's like, oh, gee whiz, why am I going to wear, you know, a pair of X brand sneakers when I can wear Adidas, because Adidas was one of my sponsors. Here I am, guilty, because here I am with this X sneakers, and it's not Adidas. So, you know, that makes my stomach churn. So be committed to your sponsor.
Support them
and them.
Your purchases as well, beyond the sponsorship, is what you're saying. Great advice.
Yeah, really great advice. I like that a lot. That's an important thing to remember. And, you know, sponsorships and joint ventures, as I suggested before, I see as being so, so similar. They really are about the same things. And in joint ventures, it's the same exact thing that you just talked about, where you want to really support the people and make sure that it's not just, you know, you telling others to use them, but use them yourself as well. I think that's really, really an important thing to do through alliances. Just as an example, I know we're running a little tight on time at the moment, but we have a site that we're putting together with our students right now called howtoliveonpurpose.com, which is a great example of an alliance, the way that I talk about alliance. There are 14 people all coming together who are brand new in their own businesses. They each serve a similar audience, but a different subset of the audience. The center of the hub is a couple that has about 20 products of their own. None of the others had products of their own yet. So each of the 14 people are co-creating a product with the central people, the tall trees, so that that individual product that each one has can promote the other tall trees products with an affiliate link. So all 14 people have a way to make money, and by all coming together to build one site instead of 14 different sites, they're really pooling their efforts and resources in a way that will let that one site get so many more people to it because of their efforts as a group. And it's not just 14 times bigger results. It's more like 30 to 100 times bigger results, because that's the effect of leverage. And I think if they then look into how sponsorship could even make that bigger still, holy cow.
Well,
I can only imagine what can happen from that.
They will actually be adding on, because they are bringing in other companies to join them on their venture.
Exactly.
So, but and something else, if you think about this, right? You or they will be building a lifetime of consumers. So the 14 of them, you see, that's the most important part. Because now you're not only able to feed the current generations, they want the 14 of them, but their children and children, because they have established a very tight relationship and a committed and loyal relationship, generating lifetime consumers.
Precisely.
True. And, you know, we're seeing, because of the way that the members of this hub are supporting each other, I mean, things like giving testimonials for each other, reviewing each other's products, giving feedback, helping them improve it. Yes, giving testimonials. When you go up with that first sales page for your brand-new product, you don't have to go, well, nobody knows about it yet, so nobody likes it yet. You can say, gosh, I have 10 or 12 or 14 testimonials, and that is third-party endorsement, really powerful. And all kinds of ways that people are supporting each other, we see that happening. And it's so beautiful and a wonderful thing to see. And so that's exactly what you want with the whole sponsorship.
Exactly. So we are out of time. We've been talking with Roberta. And, oh, goodness gracious, I'm just looking to see what these notes are. what is the lady with the blog site's email? That is me, Gina Gaudio Graves, the dean and founder of Directions University and the host of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. You can reach me directly at adminteam@directionsu.com, A-D-M-I-N-T-E-A-M, at directions, plural, the letter U.com, or visit us at 30dayimchallenge.com, where you can get a 30-day series of lessons, more than 850 pages if you print them all out, worth of lessons about building your business in a way that lets you live the life of your dreams and helps you use the power of the Internet to grow your business faster. I can't thank you enough, Roberta, for being here today. It has been our pleasure to have you as a guest. You can visit Roberta at eventsandsponsors.com. And as always, Rhonda, thank you so much. Rhonda Del Baccio from the ProfitableStorytelling.com. We'll be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern with another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a wonderful week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing.